Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Being in a state of continual prayer and communing with God is vital in accessing the treasure God has placed in us. Join Gloria Copeland and her daughter Kelly for more insight on today's Believer's Voice of Victory. Now here's Gloria.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly Copeland's back with us and she's going to be talking to you about your special treasure. And my special treasure. I like treasure. Glory to God. Go for it, Kelly.
Okay. Well,
welcome.
Thank you, Mom. Yesterday was really good. And we're talking about Him on the inside of us, who He is on the inside of us. You know, you can carry around the most powerful being of the universe on the inside, and everything out here not be going well and not ever get better. And yet you've got the life-changing one on the inside. So we've really, last week and this week, we want to unlock Him in your life by getting rid of Satan's devices, by bringing to light how He's tricked us, really, with pride and shame and other things.
Lies.
Lies, disobedience, an inability, which this is pride and shame combo, an inability to be corrected by the Scripture, by the Lord, by His Word, by the Spirit, even by leaders in your life. You know, running from correction will just keep you going in a circle. And Hebrews 12 tells us, you know, He's a loving Father. Correction is a normal function of a loving Father. Because after all, if He's not correcting you, if He's not involved in your life, He's abandoned you. And He's not the one that does the abandoning. It's the church that has abandoned His loving ways, His loving correction, His presence on the inside. But he's not upside down on it. He's just telling us, come to the altar. Come to me. Come to my presence. Don't let that stuff keep you away from my presence. So He's taken the wrapper off of shame and pride. I mean, just last week, I heard Keith Moore deliver a powerful message about pride. He just cut it off at the knees. It was good. You know, that's the type of message that in the past people's like, yeah, I don't think I'll listen to pride. I'm fine. I don't need that. And then Creflo, he talked about shame. God's been dealing with me about shame. Satan's tricks are over in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. He's a liar.
He is a liar, and he's a loser too. Don't ever forget it.
Truth's not in him.
No. So if he tells you that you're the loser, I said yesterday he's a narcissist. That's what they do. They take what's wrong with them and try to put it off on you. So that's, if he tells you something, it's just because that's what's ahead for him. He is a loser.
He is.
Anyway, so we were in 2 Corinthians 4, and we were just coming down to the understanding about what's on the inside of us. If you missed it, go back and watch last week and yesterday. And also, we have free study notes on kcm.org. If you just look under the broadcast of this week, it'll say study notes, and you can download those and print them. This is a great study to do with friends, too, with, you know, bring friends in and y'all just say, hey, we're going to get rid of shame, get rid of pride, and really access who's on the inside of us. So I want to go with verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 4. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You know, that's a lot of kind of convoluted sounding words, but in essence, it means this. You know, your body, separate from the life of God, is going in a downhill direction. And even with him on the inside, unless what's on the inside is what you're focused on and what you give your attention and where you look to have your answers, if all the information you're getting is from circumstances or how you feel or how your body feels or what's going on in your body, your relationship, if circumstances are where you get your information, you know, you're stuck with that.
That's right.
Because it's going downhill. But it's the life of God in us. If we get our information from the life of God in us, if we get our information from the Word of God, if we choose to believe this, that takes precedence over our bodies, over our situation, over our circumstances. And so even though our bodies are headed this way, our bodies can share in the death of Jesus by having the life of Jesus come out. Does that make sense? I'm getting the message from over here that didn't make sense. No, the life of God in us is the one thing that will defeat every circumstance. You may not win.
The Spirit of God.
Each little circumstance, you may have things that you're like, I don't know, Lord, that felt an awful lot like a failure. But you will have victory in your life. There have been so many times in my life I've been through things that seemed like a failure at the time. But looking back, I see it from more of a kingdom perspective in the sense that my life is my life.
You grow.
You change. He's developing you and developing you. And the things that used to take you down don't take you down today.
That's right.
So overall, you can look back on your life with no regrets. I have no regrets. You know, sometimes people go, well, you've done
well,
this.
Well, did you ever make a mistake?
This happened.
Did you ever make a mistake?
Oh, goodness, plenty. You know what the Lord said to me about my kids? I'm not in by nature a worrier. But when you do worry, and some people, they tend to worry. But when you worry, you're receiving information from everything that's going on. You're receiving all your information from your clay jar,
from your clay pot,
from your circumstances, from what's going on in your body, from how you feel. You know, God gave us feelings and He gave us emotions. And I've talked about this before, but I just think it so bears repeating because it has so much weight in our lives. We know from the study of the Word, and if you've been a partner here very long, listen to Mom and Dad very long, you know, don't be led by your feelings.
That's right.
Well, then what are they for? Like, are they just the bane of our existence that God gave us feelings, but we're not supposed to use them? They don't have a purpose. They're just a temptation to not look at the Word? No. God gave us feelings. He gave us emotions. Imagine living life with family members without allowing an emotion to come in. Emotions are a gift. Even your life with God, allow your emotions. If you don't allow
love,
your emotions
joy, peace.
Involving with your life with God or in your worship, then you may be worshiping or having a life with God based on your mind, based on maybe your mind and your will. But boy, when you involve your emotions in your life with God, your life with people, how full your life becomes and how you can so know deeper His presence when you allow all of yourself to be presented to God. But again, what are your feelings for? Well, I believe the Lord showed me this because maybe people have realized this before, but I never heard it said, but I think God showed me that the same way your physical feeling of touch, it is an informant. You know, I can touch this, it feels smooth. I can touch this and it feels rough, it informs me. If my eyes were closed and they said, there's an apple in front of you and there's a lime and there's a grapefruit, I could touch and figure out which one was which.
Yeah.
I could have some information come. When you're near a hot stove and you put your hand close to it, the feeling of that heat will begin even before you touch it. So, but if you manage to touch the oven or touch the stove, the indicator to you is get your hand off the stove, ding dong.
Quick.
I mean, it tells you, move your hand. It's an informer that something is not right. Well, the Lord showed me that our feelings on the inside, maybe you say, well, I feel fear a lot, or I feel doubt, or I feel this. It's not the feeling that's bad. The feeling is good because it tells you what's going on. Satan would love it if we didn't feel that we were fearful. He likes to hide it. He doesn't want you to feel it. He doesn't want you to notice it. He just wants to control your life with it. But because we have feelings, we can tell maybe there's you need to go to God with when you have feelings. Take them to the Lord and say, talk to me about this. What do I need to do? I'm feeling this. You don't be led by it. But if you know what your feelings are for, you can allow them to tell you there's something going on. If you feel sad, you need to go to the Master. You need to go to Jesus because you've got a special treasure on the inside of you. You've got joy on the inside of you. You need to let Him tell you what's going on. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. We have feelings, they have a purpose, and they're indicators. That's the best word that I've heard to describe our feelings. They're indicators. They're not directors. The Spirit of God on the inside of us should be directing us. But when we get so focused on feelings, we let them direct us or focus on our circumstances, and we let our circumstances tell us, this is your life and it'll never change.
Well, you
then
need
we're
to learn,
focused on the wrong thing.
You need to learn what feelings are to your advantage.
Yes.
Joy's a feeling. That's a good thing. Happiness, joy. But then sadness is a feeling. That's a bad thing. So the good things are of God, and the bad things the devil puts on you to try to get a place in your life. If he can get you down, sad, if he can get you where you're not responding to the Word of God and you're not fighting the good fight of faith, and he'll find a home. He'll stay there as long as he can. People live all their lives with sadness.
It's a heartbreak.
And sometimes there's not even anything much wrong, but they just didn't go on and find out the good side and act on that. So we learn to rule our words. We learn to rule our feelings. And if we get to feeling blue, as the world says, or down or whatever, go to the Bible and get the Word of God and find out what belongs to you. And it'll pump you up. What's that called? That's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to be, and the thing is we need to do, and this is what we endeavor to do, we endeavor to stay in the Word of God all the time. Not just, I don't mean 24 hours a day, but I mean daily. We don't go for weeks without opening our Bible. We endeavor to spend some time. This is where faith comes. This is your Bible, but it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So this is your faith book. And if you don't ever open this faith book, you're not going to have faith. Mm-hmm. But if you'll be in it every day, read some of it, take it, believe it, act on what it says, your life will begin to get better and better and better, and you'll get stronger and stronger. And you now don't ever quit. I mean, I've been studying the Word for years and years and years, but I have to have it if I want to stay on top.
Well, and that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 4 says, Mom. You hit the nail on the head. It's like, if you had, again, sadness and joy, this is saying if you focus on the sadness and you become enmeshed in the sadness instead of just letting the sadness tell you, you better go access the joy.
Yeah,
if the sadness is speaking to you,
access,
then it's telling you, stir up, go to the treasure, go to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Where do you think that faith that she talks about comes from? That faith comes from the treasure, the Spirit of God, who put faith in you, who put faithful in you. You know, faithfulness, the Word says in Hebrews 12 that Jesus, He is the author. He is the developer of our faith. And it says, look to him.
He's the starter.
He is the starter. He's the one that birthed it in there. He is the one that will rebirth it in there.
Yeah.
But look how it says this, Mom. I just love the way you brought that out because it's right here. It says...
Where are you?
In verse 12. We'll go to verse 11.
Okay.
We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So he's comparing what's going on in the outside to the life of Jesus on the inside. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Mm-hmm. So even when stuff's going on, if you access this, victory comes not just for you, but for other people. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, I think this whole scripture describes this ministry and you and Dad, Mom. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. Listen to this. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, look here, our spirits are being renewed every day. I've got something really important. I believe I'll have time to finish this today. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Think about what he's saying here. It's not the trouble that produces the glory. It's the treasure that produces the glory. What he's saying is, we don't focus on the sadness. Let me use sadness and joy. We don't focus on the sadness. We don't focus on the dying situations. We have a treasure inside of us. And he's saying here, our spirit, that treasure, our spirit is renewed every day. Now, I'm going to take you way back to Genesis 2 again, where we, in our clay pot, we received the spirit and the life of God. He breathed his life into Adam, and his life became the living life on the inside of Adam. He breathed his spirit. He breathed the light of God. Where do you and I get the light of God? Where do you and I find that breathing in? Right here. That's why when, as Mom says, to put the word in and it renews your spirit, that's what renews that spirit and that power every day with the life and the words of God. You know, the day that I was driving, I started to say this last week, I didn't tell the whole story, but I was driving and I was listening to a song about Let There Be Light. And I just had this understanding he dropped in my heart that this clay pot was exactly that. He made a clay pot in the garden, but he breathed his own life inside of Adam. And this scripture, in essence, is telling us that's the same life was breathed in us, and that life is renewed with his word. Yeah. Every time you go to his word, you're feeding and renewing your spirit. You're renewing the life of God in yourself. You're renewing the power of God that he put inside of you. And I thought, and then this scripture came to my heart, and I wrote it down that day. I wasn't driving anymore when I wrote it down. I had just sitting in my park, in my driveway, in my car, going, oh my gosh, I get worried about all this stuff. And he breathed himself into me. And this is the thought that came, and I know it came from him. He said, when I said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he said, that was not a condemnation. He said, that was an invitation. Same kind of invitation he gave to the children of Israel in Hebrew, and where the word talks about, come, talk to me. That was an invitation to be his kids. We have had an invitation to be not a servant of God, not a belonging of God, but to be his kids, his special treasure. In putting himself inside of us, he put his treasure on the inside of us. And when we allow shame and defeat and sadness and all of that to speak to us about who we are, we don't see ourselves as a special treasure. But do you know that He calls us? I mean, He's the special treasure in us, but He calls us His special treasure. He is calling us to step into that place on the inside of us that He put Himself in there and be one with Him. He wants His presence to come out and blast our circumstances. Listen to this. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. And I would say, it says they produce for us a glory. But it's this that produces out the glory when we're pressed. What did He say? We're pressed, but we're not crushed. Why? We're producing a glory from the inside. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Why? Because we're producing a glory in the middle of all this pressing. We're perplexity. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Why? Because when you poke at me and I let that on the inside out, I know I'm not abandoned by God because He just came out and wiped out everything that needed to be wiped out because He's on the inside of me. I am never abandoned by God. It says the glory vastly outweighs the stuff that's going on. You said it. The joy vastly outweighs the sadness. The fruit of the Spirit that attacks the feeling, the thing that's going on the inside of you, the joy of the Lord vastly outweighs that thing.
Amen.
Those promises of God and His Spirit and His love on the inside of you vastly outweighs family situations.
Praise God.
It vastly outweighs your own imperfections and sin. The glory of God vastly outweighs what you did today, what you did yesterday. What's on the inside of you vastly outweighs anything that you could point to. I'm going to finish this. So how do we do? How do we live in this? We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. What's the thing? It's the treasure on the inside. For the things that we see out here now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. He's the one on the inside. We may not be able to see Him with our physical eyes, and we really don't need to once you start pressing in to the treasure on the inside. He vastly outweighs anything that you're dealing with
today. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, we having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken.
Amen.
We also believe, and therefore we speak. That's what we do. Good times, bad times, we believe and we speak.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Kelly and I will be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.